Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, it's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. 2 weeks off, Jesse.
I know, we're back. It's nice to be back here at WS Radio.
Back in San Diego.
Yeah, it was a good trip, though.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was a good time. It was very exciting, eye-opening.
Right.
And went all over the East Coast. That was a good trip.
Yeah, I reviewed it, big long thing. It was about 8.5 pages. But I don't know if I mentioned when we were in New Jersey, when you were on stage, that group of three people that were doing cocaine in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I left that out of the blog.
Yeah, but I figured I'd mention. Oh, before we get too far, did you hear that we want to send our best to Nick Flair?
Mm.
He's been diagnosed with leukemia.
What?
Yeah.
Nature Boy?
Yeah. So we want to send him.
Do you mean Ric Flair or Nick Flair?
Nick Flair. Yeah. So.
Oh, Nick Flair.
Nick Flair.
Oh, my
comedian.
God. Jesus Christ.
Terrible.
Yeah.
That's a horrible thing.
Yeah, so we want to wish him our best.
Yeah. Oh, all right, let's start this podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's do this comedy podcast now. That was sad.
Well, I figured it'd be a nice gesture. I didn't know it either, but Dewey told me today.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah, so.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so comics get serious sometimes.
Wow.
Wait, are you being serious?
That's the voice of Billy Bonnell.
Yeah, I know. I'm shocked, too.
You're saying it so sarcastically that I don't know if I believe you. I can't hear myself. Can anyone hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Hi. I can now hear myself.
Okay. Yeah, good. So, yeah. So we're
wow. Jeez.
Holy shit.
What a bombshell. Leukemia.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
But it was the early stages, so it seems like he'll be all right. They caught it soon, hopefully.
I hope it's not in his calves.
I don't know. I've never seen his calves.
They're beautifully enormous.
They're big calves.
He does do a lot of working out.
Very strong.
So, yeah. Winston's was pretty terrible last night.
Well, you're off to a good start today. Is there any other? Do you have any funerals that you want to update us on? Or
no,
this is a comedy podcast, right?
I know, but I'm just talking about my week in comedy.
Oh my God, it's one way to look at the week, I guess.
Yeah. What? Did you enjoy Winston's last night?
Oh wow, yeah, that was wild. I've never seen a headliner perform for zero people. Patrick DeGear, he got there really late and had to go right up on stage and do like 10 minutes instead of the 30 we had him slotted for.
Right. It was going so bad that he brought his T-shirt up but didn't do the T-shirt pitch because he was like, it's not even worth it.
There was probably about 6 people that were there for the feature, but when the feature finished, they just walked out.
Oh, yeah. So he...
And then Patrick turned around, went on stage, and when he got up there, he sort of looked out, and it took him about 3 minutes to realize there was not one person.
You took a picture, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
He's legally blind, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But he realized it about 3 minutes in. He was like, Jesse, is there anyone here? No.
Are you talking about like zero people?
Zero.
In the whole location?
In the whole, there was the bartender, and then me and Jeff were sitting in the back. And there had been comics there. But they left, and then there had been some people there, but it was really light, and there was like an intermission.
Do you think it's because of Comic-Con?
I think that has a lot to do with it, and also nobody that was on that show even posted that they were doing the show.
Well, they didn't even accept the event space.
They didn't attend their own event. They didn't, like, use the poster I made for them. They didn't, Patrick, I wasn't expecting to, like, promote or bring people.
Yeah.
He's just the headliner. But everyone, it was just like it didn't exist, you know?
I wish it didn't.
But,
No, the one feature, he walked in and saw that there was no one there. And then he said, you know what, I got some things I got to take care of.
What's his name?
I'm not going to name him, but he likes to be funny. All right, that's we'll just put it that way. So
I would do the same thing.
Well, that's because you're hauling.
Unless I'm with him, and then he'll feel his title.
You'll
kick
guilt
in,
him
goes,
into doing it.
Because we were at a show. It was a hell gig, and he was slotted to go up last, and it was awful. And he's like, I'm just gonna leave, and I go, cool man, leave. I'm gonna hang out.
Is that your impression?
And then I see him pacing, and then I see him take a shot in the beer, and he's like, I'll fucking do it.
I just
and then you had fun. You talked shit to some guy, and it was funny.
Yeah, I don't have anything left to prove. You know, like in the realm of. I would rather tell myself my jokes in my head and try to work it out that way to go up to zero people.
You have to have at least one audience member, right? I mean, zero. I'm saying zero.
Dude, we did.
Zero.
If it was zero, then that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
totally we had a.
He still went on.
Yeah, Patrick, he's blind, man. He didn't know.
The guy should have said no there.
If your headliner was a non-blind guy,
Well, there, that's what was kind of funny was he, like, he walked in and set up his bag, and he had his back turned, and there was about six people. The feature kind of got off the stage. Those people got up and walked out, and Patrick just turned and went right on stage. So he didn't, he wouldn't have even noticed until he literally turned around.
It was like a Three Stooges theme.
he just kept saying, what else?
what else?
What else do you want to talk about?
Oh, my God.
Nobody? Okay.
Well, that's the best.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So,
what story were you going to bring up?
Wait, what is it saying?
Something we did that was similar to that.
With Zero? Did you
have our own show for a little while, and on the third one, no one came.
Where was that?
And
Hollywood.
The only people that showed up was our friend who, Tom Glunt, an amazing guy, and directed some of our stuff. I guilted him into it while we were eating lunch, and he showed up. He showed up. I guilted him into it, and he was the only person that came.
Did you do the whole? Did you do the show?
No, we canceled. No, I'm telling you, I can't bring my. There's something inside my chest that just won't allow it to happen.
You have to have an audience.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Here's the thing, and people get mad about that. Like at the Comedy Store in Hollywood, I only get late night spots on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go up. He'll slate me the late night spot. And I'll be last on the list. He doesn't even know my name. He writes my name down as Billy Braver, which is like a comedian from the 80s.
And it, Tommy?
I'll hang around till like 1:30 in the morning, and there will be no audience member, and I'll just go to the booth and be like, hey, will you just mark my name off like I did my spot? And they're like, yeah. And I go, all right, see you guys later.
Billy Braver.
Billy Braver.
Yeah.
Wow. You ever thought about changing your name?
If it helped me get spots there, I would.
Yeah.
That guy has weird control over me, man.
Yeah, he said, what, you were too monotone? Is that what you said, or what was it?
Too rehearsed.
Yeah.
Too rehearsed.
Huh. Man.
Yeah. What about you? Do you get spots there, Greg?
Nope.
No.
If I know the host, maybe, but nope.
Has he given you feedback on your comedy?
Nope.
No?
He said rehearse more.
Yeah, I think he's seen me maybe once, and then whenever I hate fucking talking to him, but whenever I do go up, I'll be like, hey, man, how's it going? He's like, hey. He's like, You gotta have the host talk about you. Yeah, you gotta make a name for yourself here.
I'm his impressions today.
I'm hoping I get up the courage to go. They don't perform anywhere else in the city, so I guess you're never gonna hear about anything.
Right.
So
yeah.
Comedy, that's the weird thing about comedy is you'll keep doing stuff that makes you
insane,
hate yourself.
Yeah.
I like the Comedy Store in Hollywood is more fun to hang out on the patio than it's ever been
to
try to get on. You know?
Yeah.
You've been up there how long now, Billy?
2 years?
2 years. And, Greg, you moved before Billy, right?
Yeah. I've been up there 3 years.
3 years, wow.
The Belly Room is probably the most fun thing.
Oh, yeah, I did do a really cool show there.
I've done a good...
Penthouse comedy show. That was good.
Yeah. I've done Chris Burns' show.
Yeah, those have been really fun.
Yeah.
I think it's small, so you only need, like, 15 people. So
it's great.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, but those are all the bringer shows, and Tommy doesn't even go watch that. So, it's like, if you want to have a chance of getting passed or whatever, you got to hang out and do the open mic and suck his dick real hard, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
One time I did the Belly Room, and I came down, and he talked to me, and I said, well, it did okay upstairs. And he said, that's a cotton candy cakewalk pussy room or something. it's like such disdain for upstairs.
Yeah. And then he got in a Mustang and peeled off. What is wrong with that guy?
Well,
But you guys worked together a lot. You did the Madhouse last night. How was that?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. First show, I think it was probably even numbers. The whole pit was really full, and then they had like perimeter seating.
Maybe like 60 or 80 people.
Yeah.
And you guys tried to sell some merch?
Yeah, we tried to. We waited to the last minute, so all we got were stickers, which is already a tough sell.
Okay.
And what does the sticker say?
Tunguska Yacht Club. It's got our Twitter and a YouTube link.
And that, Tunguska, what is that from?
It is a place in Siberia that was hit by a meteor in the early 1900s.
Okay.
Correct, Billy?
Sounds the largest natural explosion in modern history.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like Jeff's kind of comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, it's an interesting story about it. Actually, the funniest part about it is there's a guy who was alive during it, and it was such a remote part of Siberia. This is an explosion that was so bright that it made it look like noon at midnight all the way in England, and the newspapers reflect that. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what it was till 20 years later, and then some guy went in and surveyed, and there was like 800 square miles of forest flattened. but there's an old Russian man, and it's translating what he's describing it 20 years after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was just on his porch, and it was a giant explosion, and it was so, it blew him fucking out of his chair on the porch so far away. It, like, exploded, and he said he was so hot, he just started ripping his clothes off, and he ran into his house ass naked because he thought he was on fire.
Right.
Is that the effect you guys want to have on audiences?
Yeah. But it's landlocked, too, so we were just, I like the story. We're bad at marketing.
Right.
The name is fucking awful to remember. No one can pronounce it. But the stickers... Man,
they're
look real cool, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you sell them or
what is on the sticker? Do you is it a guy ripping his clothes off? Or is
it's a meteor breaking through atmosphere and then a yacht kind of tilted as if it's about to be propelled
by the blast of the meteor. Is
so the yacht club part has nothing to do with the actual Tunguska.
No.
There's no yacht club there. It's fucking,
right.
It's landlocked.
So why did you combine a yacht club?
Because we fucking suck, man.
Yeah.
And we thought of a way better name after that, and now we can't change it because we have like 5,000 subscribers and they won't let you change your name.
That's funny.
We were going to be the Florida Marlon Wayans.
That's pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
And which would have been even more hilarious had we, you know, not at that point, we thought of his name before we did the stuff with his site. So how funny it would have been if we ended up getting to that point and he's like,
what's your guys' name?
We're the Florida Marlon Wayans.
Did you ever tell him that you were thought about having that name?
No, we never got like that. I think it would be like too forced if I had that conversation with him.
Have you guys seen the show he does? The Funniest Wins?
We were in the pilot.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
What does that mean?
They used us for a pilot presentation, mm-hmm. and then they presented that to TBS, and based off of that pilot presentation, they sold the show.
But you guys aren't on the show.
Nope.
We can't. We're not allowed to be on the show.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got more with Greg and Billy and why they're not allowed after this. So, comics.comedy, WSRadio.com, worldwide leader in internet talk. Bye.
Talk.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment. Billy had to step out. Hollywood called.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to answer. So we never really got what the you guys sell in the
okay,
stickers?
So our original plan, I thought I was going to be hosting.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought at the end of the night, it would be great for me to do the pitch.
Mm-hmm. The merch pitch.
Right. So at the end of the night, I was going to say, Billy and I have a sketch group. It's called Tunguska Yacht Club. We've been featured by blah, blah, blah. We have stickers, you know, I know that they're not very cool and they're cheap items, but if you'd like to give us a donation, we use that to fuel all of our future productions.
Cool.
And then like a joke or something,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not hosting. So Taylor, for the first show, I asked her if she could just say something funny and say that we'll be back there accepting donations. And she forgot. So the first show we didn't sell anything. We just handed them out for free. And then the second show she did it and we made $10.
How much did they cost you to make?
We did 100 for $120 because of a rush order. So what is that, like maybe a
$120?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can sell them for $5 or what?
Yeah.
Cool.
But we were just basically going to say, like, whatever you think is right. You give
right.
us one, you give us two. I mean,
whatever you think is right above $1.20.
Yeah.
Have you done merch before?
Never. So this is our first.
It's kind of hard doing that merch pitch, isn't it?
It is. You know what's funny? Like, a part of you feels like you're selling out, but... any entrepreneur in any facet should be trying to generate income.
Yeah.
So it's finding that happy medium where you're not like being, you know, hokey or like taking advantage of people. So we have other ideas. We're just lazy and we wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
I think t-shirts will be better. And
t-shirts seem to do well, but they're tough to carry around everywhere and have a million sizes and girls and guys and different colors. That's what we found on this tour was like, well, do you have that in brown? No, I want it in white. I want it in black. I mean, it in extra small. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Just digging through them and everything.
Yeah.
Right.
We were thinking of making mean mugs where it's a picture of our faces mean on a mug.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That
also would be very hard to transport.
That would be really hard to transport.
Yeah. Like, we ended up getting 200 shirts.
Nice.
And when we were at the Comedy Palace, we did one show and we sold like 15.
Awesome.
To which we only had like, at that point, like 50 left or something.
$20 a pop?
15.
Yeah. 15.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So then we were like, oh, let's get 100 more before we went on the tour. And then, like, first couple of shows, we sold, like, none.
Oh.
So then we were like, fuck, we're going to end up with all these shirts.
Yeah.
We got about 60 left, so we sold around 140.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to buy a shirt.
Camp Grin and Barrett.
Camp Grin and Barrett.
It comes with a Tunguska Yacht Club. I can't even say it.
I think with merch, I don't know, I think it has to be the right environment.
Yeah, I mean, we sold those to the families of, you know, our family, basically, people that wanted to support us. But, yeah, I think otherwise it's like got to be really generic. And
yeah,
we always tell the story of a comic who talked about going on tour with someone who didn't like to bring merch.
John Toll, you know John, right?
Yeah.
He knew someone that would go to like a Kmart or a Walmart and buy some of those novelty shirts to say like, who farted or whatever.
Shut up.
And then write a joke about it and sell that as merch on the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We thought how funny it would be if those people later are like, that comedian's really blowing up. I saw his Who Farted shirt at Walmart.
Yeah. Well, wow, look at the distribution he's got.
He's right. Killing it.
So have you recorded a CD or anything like that?
No, I don't think I'm near that point.
Well, you guys have so much content out in video.
Yeah. Actually, one idea that we really need to execute is we want to do like a 5-song mixtape.
That would be cool.
But also make it like kind of interactive, so like maybe a funny intro, mm-hmm. and then song, maybe like a funny audio sketch, song, and then that would be perfect, because if that can be shared, that would help us infinitely.
Right. That would be cool.
Yeah.
You guys are kind of a comedy duo. We have me and Jesse go up together sometimes. You guys ever thought
have
about
you done that?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We did a whole weekend at the Palace where we went up together, both shows.
Nice. What? We've co-hosted, and it was fun.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever thought about going up together for longer than, like, 10 minutes. But.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Billy kind of sticks to the script.
He's too rehearsed, man. He's way too rehearsed.
Yeah. But do you kind of mix it up when on stage, or do you kind of have your set in this room?
I have, like, my showcase set, as we call it. I always typically stick to. But, yeah, when I'm down here or anywhere else, I'll try to switch it up.
The other day you had a pretty big show at the Improv. That were
Dude, Tuesday night, I hosted Juice.
How was that?
It was awesome. I got blackout drunk.
Oh, you did?
Dude.
While hosting?
Yeah. I told Billy I must have willed it into the universe. Also, I had a lot of whiskey. But earlier in that day, I was like, dude, I'm so pumped. I'm getting hammered tonight. And I opened. It was awesome. I had a really good time. I brought up some guy that was a last-minute add-on. And then I brought up a guy named Andy Kozel. He's a local guy up there. Then Kyle Kinane.
Nice.
I love Kyle Kinane. Mm-hmm. I told him I loved him when I was really drunk.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he probably thinks I'm
Is that how you brought him up?
No.
This next guy I love.
I can love him. Brian Callen, Joe Rogan.
Wow.
And then...
So did you get the show from Rogan?
What's that?
How did you get on the show in the first place?
From Mark Saratella.
Oh, okay. Juice?
Yeah, cool. And then Tosh popped in.
No kidding.
And here's where I start getting drunk.
Uh-huh.
Because
Is it Daniel Tosh?
Daniel Tosh.
Okay.
I will go over to Daniel and I go, hey, man, do you have any, like, TV credits or anything you want me to say?
Oh, my God.
Are you fucking
deadpanned?
I deadpanned it. I deadpanned it.
Okay.
And he fucking just looks at me and he's like, no. He wasn't having it. Not in a rude way. He was just busy and in the zone, and here's this dumb, drunk idiot coming
around. Right.
Like,
that's so funny.
Introed him, then I introed D'Elia, and at this point I'm really drunk.
Yeah.
And then I introed Brent Morin.
Those shows are long.
They're very long. Yeah. And, you know, people, like, Brent did great in that last spot.
Yeah.
And I do not remember closing the show. No recollection.
You had to go back up there and say goodbye.
Yeah, I had to ask a lady that I was with.
Who doesn't drink.
She's dead sober.
Oh, really?
I had to ask her, like, how was it? And she was like, you slurred your words a little bit.
You slurred your words.
But everyone else who I asked...
When you fell into the piano, it was a little bit much.
When you broke that bottle and you sliced your wrist, that was weird. But
when
it
you
was
tried
artsy.
To
it was artsy.
Hump Kyle Kinane's leg. It was kind of strange.
Yeah,
those are exciting shows.
You also had to tell Daniel Tosh that he has to wait to go up, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I had to...
You're getting bumped.
Yeah, well, Mark would just... He just told me, like, the lineup. He was like, all right, we'll just go tell Daniel it's going to be Rogan, Callen, then Tosh.
Yeah.
Well, Tosh, he's already been there. I'm thinking he's assuming he's going to go up ASAP.
Right.
So I had to, like, walk over to him and was like, hey, man, I just want to let you know it's Rogan, Callen, and you. And he just, again, he just looked at me like, really? It's like, fuck, man, I can't
And how long were
dude?
Those guys doing?
I think Rogan did 15, and yeah, probably the same. Yeah, so he had like a half-hour wait.
Do you remember anyone's set?
Yeah. I remember Kinane had this hilarious new bit about, because I introed him as the voice of Comedy Central.
Okay.
He said he didn't care what I said, but I knew that because I love him. And he has this bit where he's like, yeah, part of my job is when I travel, I got these headphones and this microphone, and the maid can hear me from the lobby going, Thursday, coming up Thursday. And he just talks about how fucking stupid it is that he gets paid to just talk into a microphone.
That's awesome.
Is that one of the bigger shows you've done?
Biggest, yeah.
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 Name-wise of people that were on it.
Yeah.
Importance. What was Joe Rogan like?
Dude, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah?
He's so fucking cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I chatted with him a little bit at the bar and, you know, asked him if he wanted me to say anything. He was like, no. Just listening to him and how he interacts with everybody, he's incredibly polite.
Yeah.
He crushes, man.
Yeah, does he?
Yeah, he crushes. Yeah.
How did your set go?
I felt great, yeah. I took the bullet. I feel like I enjoy hosting, so I had a good set.
You host a lot at West Side Comedy Theater, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think that's made you, like, a better host?
I think so, yeah, because that's a smaller room, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's full, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give people going out there trying to host shows? I mean, what do you think is the most important thing for a host to do?
I feel like everyone has different rules. For me, I don't try to do, like, the come on, everybody type of stuff. Just do your jokes, hit your points, be confident, and then... introduce everybody like very.
You don't try to berate them into having more energy or
definitely not.
Making more noise or
no.
Yelling.
Maybe
at
the end of the night where I go, are you guys ready for your last person?
Uh huh.
Just to like let them know it's the last person. But
do you do that thing where he's like, that's not enough. I gotta hear you.
Where my ladies at?
Do you open with slap your titties together?
I open with one titty.
One titty.
Is that Zach's opening?
Yeah. You pull your one titty out? You do a shake with the one titty?
Oh, no. I have a joke about a girl flashing me one titty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you do time between people?
No.
Okay. That was one thing that you missed at the Baltimore show, where I was the only white person in the whole room other than one waiter.
Oh, wow.
This is the Silver Spring, Maryland show, the last one that was sort of unofficial, not on the tour, and Dewey and Jeff went to go do
that. Right. They told me that they were going to pay us $250,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
To which when we get there, the guy's like, yeah, I don't know about that. So they ended up paying us $100.
Oh, wow.
So,
which you had to finagle to really even get that, I think.
Yeah, which Dewey has it. But anyway, so the host opens up, does 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then brings me up, and I'm supposed to do 15. He lights me at like 8, and I was doing well.
Too. Yeah.
And then he does 15. And
he
then
did another 15 after you?
Yeah, and then bring Dewey up, and then does another 15 after him.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Did he headline
it, too?
No, he had like Tony Woods or something like that. But
he did more time than the headliner.
Oh, yeah. We had left at this point. Anyways, he asked me for my credits. I was like, whatever. It just bring me up. And he's like, I run a professional show, bro. Meanwhile, we're 20 minutes late starting the show. And then that's 20 minutes.
Like, I'm a very professional guy. What was that payment? Yeah, it's half.
Yeah,
not even half. That's how serious I take this business.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I only do time in between if they ask me. Like, if someone goes, hey, can you please?
Sometimes they do that. You know, they'll say, can you go back up for a few?
Yeah.
Never really works, though, I think.
No.
It's weird. It's a weird feeling.
There needs to be like a correlation, I think.
Yeah.
You need to be able to go, he was just talking about this. Let me tell you a quick little thing.
Right.
Right.
Otherwise, if you just go up and stone face another joke, they're like, hey, buddy, we saw you already.
Yeah, exactly. Moving along.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Because when you're hosting, Billy's back.
Okay.
What's up, bro?
Everything's okay?
Hollywood's
still not burned down yet.
No, man. They comedy got derailed, but it's been gone for 5 days, and now... you know, the executives, they want me back up there, man.
Nice, man.
That's cool. You don't host very many shows, do you, Billy?
No. Sometimes.
Yeah. You host, a buddy of ours runs a show at Westside, and they rotate us as regular hosts.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I've only done that once so far.
Once?
Hosting, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you always cancel.
No, I didn't cancel.
He's afraid.
Do you ever host Blackout Drunk like this one?
You know, did you tell him the story about 12 shiny nickels?
Oh, no, that's
we'll
a great story.
Yeah, we'll hear about 12 shiny nickels.
When you return.
Right after
that's
break.
Like a perfect
cliffhanger. But
no, Billy, put the speed away.
Come soon, 12 shiny nickels.
With speed
like
and Billy Bonnell.
It's like that PSA music, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be back in 2-3 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. We'll be back. Bye.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Segment number 3. So what's this, 12 shiny nickels?
Oh, yeah. Well, you said before the break, have I ever hosted Blackout Drunk? There's a show at Westside Comedy Theater in Santa Monica that we like to... There's an open mic at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we go do the open mic at 6 p.m. And we're like, okay, we'll stay and watch... A show that's at 8 o'clock that's another stand-up show called Mark Franco, MF Grand.
MF Grand Comedy Showcase.
It's a packed show, so we just hang out there a little bit.
Also, we should preface by, we know all the owners. The bartenders are a really close friend,
mm-hmm.
and we enjoy drinking
we like being there.
Yeah.
And we're going to make a night of it.
Yeah. Right.
So we're there drinking for 6 hours,
yeah.
Okay. And there's a show that's the last show of the night.
Then there's 10 p.m. The 10 p.m. is Mission Improbable,
yeah.
Which is a killer improv show that's basically built this theater.
Yeah, it's like the best. It's one of the best improv shows in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's all professional improvisers, even if you don't like it. I like it because they're so good at it. Bad improv, as with bad stand-up, is the worst thing ever.
Right.
But these are all professional touring improvisers, and they crush, and it's a unique show. And then after that, there's another show called 12 Shiny Nickels where 12 comedians do 5 minutes a piece of, like, what they, you know, to work out late night, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, all right, we'll stay for that show, too. We're just drinking.
We've been drinking for 6 hours.
Right.
We're drinking so much, as a matter of fact, that at the end of the night, our bartender friend, Chris Gorbos, who's one of the owners, told us we accounted for 20% of all the liquor sales for the day.
20%?
Yeah. Me and Greg.
Yeah.
For the whole day.
For all four shows, 20% of it, or maybe, 20% or 18%. And he said, and he gave us, like, discounts.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. So what was the bill at the end of the night?
I don't remember.
What was yours?
I don't remember. Maybe $70-something dollars.
Yeah, mine was like $95.
Yeah.
So did you go up on
the
show?
So here's the best part. Okay. So we're drinking. We're outside, just like, we're probably, like, wrestling or something, doing something just stupid.
Yeah.
And, Gorbos comes out. He's the bartender, one of the owners. He was like, hey, two comics dropped out. I told them three comics dropped out. Because did Gorbos go up too?
Yes.
He's like, three comics dropped out. He goes, we're going up. And I just looked at Billy and I go, okay.
No, he goes, do you want to go up?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So we go into the green room, and the host, the co-producer of the show, you can tell that he knows that we're wasted.
Right.
And there's probably, you can tell that there's also fear in his eyes where he's like, oh, fuck. I asked you the wrong fucking people to do this. Billy's
but
loud.
But he's already committed. I'm happy because of...
He's in the green room just, like, being loud and just talking shit to everybody. People, like, must have been
joking
like, who the fuck are these guys?
Yeah, they don't know us, and we don't get on any of these cool shows. And finally, we're accidentally on a cool show, and we were both excited, and we're fucked up. And you guys have been drunk around us. We're really happy drunk guys. It's not negative. It's not just really happy. And now we're going to get a set in after we've just been hanging out for 6 hours.
Yeah.
On a show that I tried to get on a bunch of times and never got responded to.
Yeah.
And now we're accidentally on it and we're hammered and he's going second to last and I'm closing the show.
Oh God.
Yeah. And since I'm closing the show, the guy says if you're doing good at 5 minutes, you can do 3 more minutes.
Yeah.
And we did great.
Like,
it was epic.
I told Billy, I was like, I know this is inappropriate, but I was like, I'm going to treat this drinking and driving. Just focus for 10 to 5 minutes. Hey, you're not that fucked up. And, dude, I had a great set. Billy smashed his set. And then the host was like, wow. It's like, great job, guys.
You
could just tell he was like, he was shocked.
He was amazed.
We were going to be able to provide that output being so inebriated.
Right.
Yeah, and then I got to do the extra 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they invited me to do other shows that I've been trying to get on. All just by accident, and we're just so drunk.
Yeah.
So do you have to get wasted again to do that show next time?
Just the game pocket.
Well, I know they have some, like, wasted shows, and have you guys ever done
There's
those?
A show called Brouhaha in L.A., and I went for the first time, and it is insane.
Yeah,
it's at someone's house.
Okay.
They do drinking games. They have 5 of the best comics in the country working the show, and it's so packed that they're broadcasting it from the backyard to the front yard, and they're playing the comedy on the house in front of them.
Hmm.
So there's a bunch of people outside. There's hundreds of people there. It's free.
It's like a party.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
there's
then after it's over,
really
they keep partying. There's a show in a living room. That's one of the best shows. There's a show in a sex shop.
It sounds like it's going to be a show at one point, right? I mean, that's like Adam Devine's house party show that you were on.
Yeah, but that one's like, they have like a...
studio created sort
right,
of scenario,
right.
But this is a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. There's potential. Yeah, they can probably get looked at. Like,
but, I mean, they would have to be a major celebrity already to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, The Battle had Comedy Central looking at it.
Uh-huh.
And, who else? Like,
well, Jeff
Ross
got a wind of it and then was like, he slapped his name on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, boom.
Are you guys
going to
be there at the La Jolla Comedy Store for that on Monday? Or are you not?
Nah, I got to go back up.
Okay.
You said they've asked you guys to do a battle against each other, but you didn't want to do it? Or
no, we talked about battling each other, but like...
Do you want to hear my joke for Billy? I've written one joke so far.
Let's hear it.
Guys, not sure if you're aware, but Billy's grandfather shot himself in the head, and Billy's father also shot himself in the head. I guess we're all just waiting for Billy to take over the family business.
Oh, man, I really like it, too.
Yeah, it's good.
They cut deep on those.
They do. Jeez. They get really, really vicious.
Yeah. Speaking of cutting deep, weren't you on the stage at the Madhouse last night and you made a woman cry, Billy?
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. I know I was doing a joke, and she just stood up and walked out. She was in the front row, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Was she a younger lady?
Do you remember what bit you were doing when she walked out?
Yeah, the ice cream truck bit.
Oh, about getting molested.
No, I don't talk about getting molested. I talk about avoiding. Bit. No,
avoiding molestation.
Come on, man. Keep up to date with me. I see her, and I think she's going to the bathroom. And generally, when you're doing a joke or something, and someone stands up, you kind of want to like make light of it. And I was like, she's probably just going to the bathroom. And I see her walk out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy she's with just stays there till the end of my set. She goes out, and I go back to the back, and Polo said she was crying outside. And I was like, you fucking with me, man? And nope, she's right up there crying. And then her boyfriend or whoever she was on a date with went out. They bailed on their check, but she was crying and saying, I didn't know it was going to be so profane and sexually charged or something.
Sexually charged.
Yeah. And at that point, that was the first show, right?
How old was she?
That was the second. Yeah, that was the first show.
At that point, it was Taylor,
she was
me,
young,
and Billy. And,
girl.
Like, I did one bit about a girl that pees in my bed, but I don't talk about, like, I didn't say anything grotesque.
Yeah, mine
not. It's not that charged.
Yeah. So I don't
what
know.
About you, Billy? You didn't have.
No, you know my stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was too profane for her.
Yeah. She cried.
She cried.
That means she's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. I know.
God, what happened when 9/11 happened to her? Did her fucking head explode?
Well, that's like the Seinfeld
episode. If this made her cry, what happens when something real happens?
My Frankfurter. Frankfurter.
She cried about dropping her hot dog, but then when she got a letter that her grandmother died, she was like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
So maybe she's one of those people.
Yeah.
But no, because Sam Tripoli was the headliner, right?
Right.
A couple of times ago. When
it's too bad she didn't wait for that.
Why, right? Had she saved for that?
Yeah.
Well,
a couple
of times ago that he was at the Comedy Store, he made a woman cry.
Really?
Yeah, because he basically said her friend was hot and she was not.
Oh, my God.
The woman got up and left and was crying and crying.
Yeah.
So
when he did Winston's, he grabbed my friend's girlfriend and held her upside down and air 69'd her.
Shut up.
It was amazing, yeah.
Wow.
He does a
boyfriend
show.
Sitting there
for anyone
watching.
That doesn't know, Sam Tripoli is a great comedian, but he has a show called The Naughty Show.
Right.
Yeah. And his material is more blue than mine.
Sure.
If she would have waited for him,
her whole head would have caved in.
Yeah. It would be her,
her heart would
her
have
own
exploded.
Personal 9/11.
That's one way to put it, I guess. Yeah. So,
oh, my gosh.
So we kind of talked about it, but how come you guys couldn't be on the Funniest Wins show because you're affiliated with this company?
Right, and we had a contract with them to do a web series, and that was kind of like the original prize idea.
Yeah.
And then they ended up, they gave away $100,000.
Yeah, we're like, what the fuck, guys?
We didn't even get paid for the Sizzler. I hate Hollywood.
Yeah.
Really?
The Sizzler. Jesus Christ, it's a sizzle.
It's funny because no matter how...
Yeah, we didn't get paid for that Black Angus. I can't believe that.
No Angus money?
We didn't get paid for that Sizzler, man.
Yeah.
It's funny how no matter what you do, it's like... outside looking in, people are like, oh, they're doing great. And then when you're doing it, you're like, oh, I can't get this. I can't get that.
Oh, correct. Yeah. I remember
everyone. I know people that are really successful.
Right.
Yeah.
And they complain all the time. It's never going to stop.
So that never ends. That's Jeff's theory is that you never have.
Oh, no. It's new stuff. Like,
no,
I would say 2 years ago when we're fresh in L.A., we're at the Laugh Factory and like three guys, like it was like Santino, Fahim, and someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That, from my perception at that point, I'm like, these guys have fucking made it.
Awesome.
And they're all having like the same discussions that we have, just on a different level.
Right.
Like, I can't do this. I'm not doing this. This guy's pissing me off and this and that.
Uh-huh.
And it just never ends. Because you'll meet even, you know, guys that are above that. And it's just like Brooks, you know, Brooks with SNL. I chatted with him a little bit. And it's just, you know, now he has that anxiety.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, it's never fucking ending.
Huh.
It's never ending until, I guess even the guys that are multimillionaires doing theaters, I bet they have stuff that pisses them off. And
you think so?
Yeah.
Like Gaffigan's like that fucking Cosby. He just...
I bet. But, I mean, if you get to talk to anyone, everyone just complains. Comedians are all kind of the same.
Yeah.
Well, Seinfeld said, like, he was on Stern, and Stern asked him, he's like, are you still miserable? He's like, yeah. I wouldn't be as funny if I wasn't as depressed or miserable or whatever, angry about stuff.
Hmm.
Well, there's got to be a fine balance, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like you find yourself, and you're so critical of what you're thinking. So most comedians are just like,
yeah.
You can analyze yourself. You know what I mean? It's like I'm complaining to someone,
You're right. It's like incredible self-awareness, but also trying to be like goal for like striving. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. remember when we were in San Diego and you're like the first time I formed La Jolla Comedy Store, I thought I was a goddamn comedian. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, you're a dumb idiot. And like,
yeah,
even hosting Comedy Juice was in theory a great success, but then my very self-aware brain goes, well, who gives a shit?
You know, you didn't get paid.
It's one show. Right. It doesn't matter. You're trying to build a career, so like you're constantly dueling with your brain, going, yeah, I want to do cool stuff, but also, hey, calm down. You're still a dumb idiot.
Yeah.
I was complaining to you, about not getting Just for Laughs this year.
Yeah.
Because I had a good set. I didn't even get a call back. And then in my head, I'm like, you just did a TV thing, you dumb faggot.
Yeah. Wow.
You're pretty tough on yourself.
Yeah.
And then he gave himself a swirly.
Yeah.
I gave myself a noogie.
Noogied himself.
I did a handstand in the toilet, and I flushed it with my foot.
You never tell that joke anymore. It's pretty dumb, but remember that it was one of my favorite jokes that you did when people put... Oh, we'll get it back. We'll talk about Billy's favorite joke coming back.
Clip 12 shiny nickels after
that. Yeah. WSRadio.com, WorldOnlyLinear.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Hey, we're back.
We are back.
Between the breaks.
Yes, we wanted to hear your favorite of Billy's jokes.
He never does.
Oh, yeah.
It's so
never
dumb.
Does it anymore?
Do you know the joke I'm talking about?
I like how you said it's your favorite, and you
stupid.
Said I don't do it because it's
well, now
super
I've seen
dumb.
All your shit so much that it doesn't matter. But
see my new shit, dog? Yeah, you did, actually. You really did.
When you said when people leave shit on the toilet seat, you said you got to put that high anus on hiatus.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's it.
I've never heard that one, Billy.
Bring it back.
They shit all over the back of the toilet.
That high anus on hiatus.
Yeah. Tweet it.
Yeah.
Tweet it.
Very tweetable.
Yeah, that was you probably only did it one time. That was like my first day of doing comedy at the Brick by
did
Brick.
You ever see Billy's?
I want to do a whole thing of just the fucked up Twitter jokes I do, the Facebook jokes.
Yeah.
I don't know if people will laugh at them in real life, though. Where I was like, you ever sit on the toilet shitting for so long playing video games that your legs fall asleep and you briefly forget that your dad shot himself when you were 10?
Oh, God.
Joe DeRosa just put out like a B-side, like I guess like a similar concept, like stuff that, you know, stuff that's not incredibly polished, but he just puts it out there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I like when people post crowd work stuff because it's like they're never going to use it again and you just get to see this unique moment.
Yeah.
I think if I were to put more videos out, it would be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some... I still didn't... we got the video from the show that we did, but Benji just put a giant logo on it.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't even able to watch it.
I got to hit him up for the raw footage.
Yeah.
I got the other footage from... Raul, I'll have to give you that.
Okay.
I haven't looked at it.
Yeah, he recorded our shows, which is very kind of him.
We did duo sets.
Yeah. Was it like slapped right in the middle?
It was huge.
It was the whole screen.
The third of the
like
screen.
A translucent fucking...
Yes.
Well, the funny thing to me was that it was just like, the logo just said like, comedy. And then it said .com, and the .com was like this big. It was like .com! Like, fucking over the whole screen. I was like,
.com.
God, why does the .com have to be something?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, the whole screen and it's see-through.
Just in case it's like .net or .biz,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was funny. It was nice of him to film it, though, so, you know.
Yeah.
What did you say to him?
Let me see.
Hey, man, I can't use that.
I just
put your logo on the bottom
anything.
Corner.
I just said I need the raw footage.
Oh, my God.
And
hilarious.
He said that was the raw footage. Because, but it wasn't, because like, it was edited, too, so.
He's with something
like I don't like
works,
that angle, either, though. I don't like being filmed at a side angle.
Yeah. We didn't film any of the shows or anything on the road, though, which was probably pretty dumb, but whatever.
I know. Well, my brother filmed the DC show. I filmed some of Lauren in New Jersey, but it's a pain in the ass trying to film with your phone when you're, like, you're trying to sell merch and deal with people and you're standing in the way. And
yeah, you need a dedicated person.
It would be nice, yeah.
Billy, you don't have a CD either, do you?
No. I tried it one time, but I hate my fucking voice, so I got it. I'm not putting
it out. It.
Right.
I don't know, though. I think, what about a compilation DVD of all your guys' video sketches?
Yeah, we thought about that, too. We're going to do a comedy mixtape, and then someone put out a fucking something called a comedy mixtape, and we're like, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're still going to do it.
It's going to, their comedy mixtape is different. We're just going to put something.
Have you guys
do a
together.
Comedy mixtape? It's just you guys, or you have other? You have like Lil Wayne on there and shit too. Or,
yeah, whoever wants to get in the cipher, you know.
We got a couple guys that want to jump in on the cipher. Shout out to Richard Bain, Rob Christensen,
yeah,
Joe Sinclitico.
Yeah. Oh.
We got a couple guys that want to do some guest verses.
And if Richard Bain, you can hear this, I'd G-check you all day, dude.
Yeah, you fucking bitch.
Friend of yours?
Love him.
Yeah, love him.
Yeah.
Have you guys he just got Just for Laughs this year, and he's the funniest motherfucker ever.
Not announced yet, bro.
Yes, it is. Publicly announced.
Not the Unwrapped.
Yes.
Pull it up on your phone.
He fucking, I liked them. The first person to like the goddamn
Oh, nice,
comment.
Nice.
You guys thought about putting the tour together? Doing some shows on the road?
Dude, we're going to Cleburne, Texas after Adam Devine's house party.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a show at the Cleburne Civic Center.
I cannot wait.
With Adam Devine?
No.
Billy Bonnell, Greg Santos.
After it airs.
You think you'll get that? How many people does that hold?
200.
Oh, you could probably get 200, you think?
I'm 100%.
Why is that?
Are you from there?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I did it 3 years ago, and I got 120 on, like, a week's notice or some shit.
That's the town you're from, or you're from where?
Cleburne. Yeah.
Cleburne. Oh, that's awesome.
That's why they call him the Cleburne Killer.
Is that what they call him?
There's only 25,000 people there.
The Cleburne Killer.
Maybe I'm being overconfident, but I think that it will be pretty big.
Are you guys going to have some better merch when you go out there?
100%. Probably not. We're lazy as fuck.
No,
but
I'm
glad he's confident.
Yeah.
So was Greg going to do, like, a half hour, and you'll do an hour or something?
Yeah, and then I'll have, like, maybe a local reverend from a Protestant church maybe come in and do a quick eight up front.
Nice. He can make his wife cry.
Oh, from a Pentecostal church.
Is that
what said? Like,
they
the
talk in tongues when they, yeah, they get the Holy Ghost. So he'll come and get the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
So when does that air?
The ultimate bringer.
I thought November, but I heard that it might be coming out a little bit early. I'm on the fifth episode, but I don't know. That's the biggest thing I got going for me.
It's pretty exciting.
How much time did you do?
I did around 10 minutes, but it's editable down to like 5 or 3.
Uh-huh.
But I heard that I have a longer set, but you know, everyone gets around like 3 to 5 minutes or something.
Were you the best one on the show?
I think so.
I thought he was going to avoid the question.
Oh, really? Oh,
who
awesome.
Else was on?
No, I don't know if I was only in my episode.
Oh, that was retracting.
No, I had a good set on my episode.
Did you have some? You had some sketches in between stuff with them too. Like
I filmed sketches, but I guess it interweaves or something.
Uh huh.
How many? What kind of arena was this in?
Actually, it was kind of fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So you saw the first season, right?
Yeah, no. It's like an outdoor stage, right?
Yeah. So they did a backyard, and it was like people were inside having a party.
Uh huh.
And then the comics would go out and do their set in the backyard.
Right.
So this is in New Orleans, in old New Orleans, like, you know, you've seen fucking Girls Gone Wild videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Girls Gone Wild?
Girls Gone
Wild. I don't think I've seen
that one. That's all Texas.
That's BBW porn, man. I love that. So they're all balconies. Like, people have houses that are on top of bars. So this place was like a bar that had a home on top of it with, like, the balcony, you know, where you throw beads off. And downstairs there was a music venue, but it's all connected. So there's like 250 people in there or something.
Dude, it was awesome.
And then you guys got naked at a strip club later?
Greg Santos.
I got naked at an underground strip club in the ninth ward.
I was a stripper manager.
Yeah.
It took me 5 minutes to talk him into this.
So Saturday night, we are having a day. It's me, Billy, Rob, Jordan, my brother, and two friends from Austin. We're getting fucked up.
Right.
And we are all at this bar, and this one of the gals from the Comedy Central art department was like, I heard about this underground venue in the Ninth Ward. It's, like, eclectic and cool. Everyone's going. We show up. It's an underground strip club, and there's a woman walking around signing people up. It's, like, open mic strip club.
It's, like, karaoke-like strip club.
Yeah, that should not exist.
But it's an exhibitionist thing. It's, like, an art installation.
So the lady's like, do you want to go up? And Billy goes, they do, and he points to me and Jordan. And I'm so drunk, I go, nah, I'll fucking do it.
Yeah,
I'll do a set.
Yeah.
I'll do a set.
And she goes to Jordan, she goes, what song do you want to go
up? Wait, hold on. Now, we saw someone before.
Oh, dude.
He stripped in, like, a powdered wig to, like, the Interview with a Vampire theme song.
It was like, boom.
Yeah.
Bong.
Like, the soundtrack to Interview with a Vampire. And
it was beautiful.
It was, like, slow, lethargic hand movements and back spins. Like, he was doing slow motion fucking yoga.
Yeah.
So that's what you're up against.
So that was your opener.
Yeah, that was
your
opener.
That was one of the people. But all of the acts were very similar to that.
Uh-huh.
And then this dude.
We got a minute.
Guess what they go up with?
1 minute. Jordan goes, without even skipping a beat, she's like, what song do you want? He goes, Montel Jordan's, this is how we do it.
Yeah, nice.
So they go up to This Is How We Do It.
Both of you guys together are going up?
Yeah. And Jordan, yeah.
But I tell them if they do it, I'll run on stage with my shirt off and do invisible double dutch between them.
Yeah.
So I did that, but right before they ran on stage to get naked, I was like, work the pole. They like the pole. Yeah. And Greg goes over to the pole and starts spinning around.
I need to blow that photo up. I look so happy.
Did you feel weird because Jordan's such an Adonis?
No, you know, I mean, we live together and...
They were both pretty nervous that their dicks were inside their body.
Yeah, dude, it's the smallest my dick has ever looked. But
I was in the pool.
It was fun. The funniest part is we kept our pants around our ankles, so we waddled a lot.
They like penguin. Yeah, they never took their shoes or pants all the way off.
It was just, didn't want to commit to all
and
that.
And we touched butts, and that was weird. That was weird.
Oh, they did. They did a booty knock.
Yeah, we did a booty
bump. They did
bump.
The booty...
Oh. But hey, we made $40, and then I bought Randy Licky drinks, and I go, I paid for that with my stripper money.
Paid gigs.
I fell off the stage, too.
Oh, yeah.
He ate it.
I fell off the stage, and I had a fucking robo-crawl out from underneath
the guy that didn't have his pants around his ankles?
Yeah. No, someone nudged me as they were coming up.
He just goes, whoa.
I fell back, like, slow motion, like, you know when you grab the air?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, well, we got to go. You can check these guys, what, 7:30 and 9:30 tonight at the Madhouse?
7:30, 9:30, Madhouse.
Check it out. Greg Sandoz, Greg. Really, Bonnell.
Have
really.
Great shows, guys.
Bye. Really.